Well, as a church, we want to be praying for the Calvary Assembly Church who lost their pastor suddenly last week, Pastor Todd. And he had served that church for a good number of years. A young guy, 45 years old, and two, I think, grade school children, or just getting into the junior high years there. And what a big loss for the body of Christ and for that church in particular. He was a friend to our congregation in that Calvary Assembly, helped with our boys basketball camp for, four years or so now. So pray for the family. There's visiting at Ott Funeral Home tomorrow. And for God's comfort to be with them. And we thank the Lord for heaven and for loved ones who go before us. But we all say, can we all go together sometime? But that's up to the Lord in the future. So pray for Calvary Assembly and Pastor Todd and the church's comfort there. Remember, put on your calendar first weekend in March, missions conference coming up, Jim and Cheryl Kendall. Cheryl may be with us, we're not quite sure about that. But Jim Kendall is a good guy, been in Indonesia about 20 years, lives in New Stanton. And when he was a teenager, his pastor was Bill Wood. And there's some stories behind that. Bill had to chase Jim around sometimes when Jim was going running amok in the church and give him that ministry of correction in there. So it'll be great to have Jim Kendall here. I think he brings a blowgun with him, since parts of Indonesia use that, and he'll demonstrate it. Might you let you make use of it, and so who knows? But hearing about the Lord and His work, that's going to be great. Indonesia, the country he represents, has the largest Muslim population on earth. So Lord, bringing a lot of people to Jesus in Indonesia. And don't forget about the game dinner. Please pray for the workers. Pray for the speaker and the guests. Well, the Lord gives us news of Himself so true and so clear, and news of heaven and hell throughout the Bible. And it's really an awesome responsibility to have that passed on to us. And Jesus tells us, go and tell others, teach them what I'm teaching you. And how our soul handles that with any kind of realness and sobriety is certainly a challenge for our own souls. But the Lord's faithful and He will do it. And just a reminder that God uses you, whatever your personality and whatever your stage of spiritual maturity. He really does use you to point others to Christ, being His Holy Spirit lives in you. So take heart about that. You're a fisher of men. You're an ambassador for Christ. And I was reminded by my family one time how God can use all of us in different ways. We went to Subway to get some hoagies, brought them home, and mine was a little bit large, which hoagies tend to be. And I was excited about that first bite, and it was big, and I had to open my mouth as wide as possible, like a alligator. And one of my family members looked at me and kind of shook their head, like, "Do you really have to eat like that?" And I said, when I was done chewing, I said, "Well, why do you think God gave me a big mouth?" And they said right back to me, "To preach the gospel." So there. And thinking about your own life, if you feel like, well, I don't know why God made me the way He did. You know, maybe outspoken, outgoing. You're out there. I can pass on to you in a good way. God gave you a big mouth to preach the gospel. And do that with thanks to Him and love to Him from what He means to you. Thinking of the reality of heaven and hell, even though Jesus taught a lot about hell because He loves us and He wanted to let us know He was the only one to rescue us from hell, He actually spoke more of heaven than hell. You'll hear different preachers say He spoke about hell more, but they're occasionally mistaken. If you go to any concordance, for example, and look up the word hell, Matthew through John, look up the word heaven, Matthew through John, heaven wins. So that should give you some thankfulness in your soul that Jesus comes to be at peace between the Lord and us be in heaven with Him. And Jonathan Edwards said that Christ was a reminder of heaven. To be with Christ is foretaste of heaven. Heaven wouldn't be heaven without the Lord. So we look forward to Him and being with Him and loved ones who know Him. Jonathan Edwards in the 1700s wanted to warn people about hell. He preached a sermon called The Justice of God, or the Fairness of God in the Damnation of Sinners. That is, hell would be a fair sentence for humanity who had rebelled against the Lord. And he said it was the most powerful and effective sermon he preached, talking about things of eternity. Heaven, hell, and the greatness of the Savior who could save us from that self-destruction. And one of the lines he had in the sermon was this: Christ has the keys of hell, which it says in Revelation chapter 1. Christ has the keys of hell. And later in chapter 3, the Lord says, He opens and no one shuts. And He shuts and no one opens. And that's a very sobering picture about who's in charge of heaven and hell. It's Jesus. We wouldn't want anybody else in charge. He shuts and no one opens. He opens and no one shuts. And He warns us about hell in Matthew chapter 10. He says, be afraid of the one who can destroy soul and body in hell, and don't fear man. Fear God alone. A soldier was asked one time, after he got a Purple Heart for his bravery, where'd you get your courage, you know, to do the actions that you did? And where did that come from? And he said this. He said, I fear God. And because I fear God, I fear no man. And how the Lord wants us to get that perspective for our own soul and the health of our emotions, that we fear God the most. Then we're able to respect all people and pass on the gospel to them. Fearing God is a result of knowing there's a real hell, and we're accountable to Him. We talked about our culture a number of weeks ago. In America, about 70% of the people, I believe, feel there really is a hell. That's a pretty high percentage, 70%. But only 1% feel in danger of going there. So that's a big difference in terms of the number. Jesus taught about hell, and He's the most loving teacher, so He describes the dangers of it. And we can ask ourselves, well, who qualifies for hell? Who, you know, what puts us in danger of hell? Who qualifies for hell? What would the Lord say? Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught a lot about hell in that sermon. He said, well, if you're angry with your brother and you say to him, you fool, you're in danger of the judgment of hell. So even our words or where our heart is at with other people show that there's a sentence to be dealt with in regards to that particular sin. Jesus taught if you carried unforgiveness in your heart, you'd become like an unmerciful servant. And then you would pay back the master everything you owed him. And so unforgiveness would be a sign that, no, we qualify for hell just by having that particular attitude or direction. Jesus taught if you commit adultery with your heart, you know, you get that unfaithfulness problem, that is deserving of being apart from God forever in hell. He taught today in Matthew 10, if you deny Him before men, He will deny you before the Father in heaven. So just our heart condition showed up in loyalty or the following of Jesus Himself. Last week we learned if we fail to help the least of our brothers in need, we're living like a goat. No goat ever went to heaven. And the king said to the goats, depart from me into the eternal fire. And Paul would get real emotional about that in a number of places. He said, you know, I say with tears, people live as enemies of Christ and His cross. He said, I'd rather, you know, when I think of my loved ones who are Jewish yet to believe in Jesus, I'd rather die and go to hell than have them die and go to hell. That's a very emotional statement. I imagine you hardly say that about anybody except your closest loved ones. But God says about that about all the lost people. And Jesus would experience hell on the cross when he took the wrath of God in our place. And so to take hell seriously is our calling. Minimize hell, we minimize Jesus. Take hell seriously, we take Jesus seriously. And we rejoice in the gift of heaven that we realize we're so undeserving of. The Lord's desire for you is to be for you and not against you. He's on a mission to save your soul and the souls of 6 billion people presently. And there's an evangelist who I've heard, he's a little bit off the wall, but he says this because it shows the heart of God. He said, "Don't you think enough people went to hell already in history?" Which is true. Wouldn't it be great if, you know, from now on, hell would be closed and heaven open? That it's God's will that people be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You want to get that issue settled in your heart. Yeah, Jesus is my Savior. I have no other. I can't save myself through good works or religion or anything else. Edwards preached another sermon in the middle of a revival. I really love Bob's story about that guy, you know, going to death and the response of the heart that was needed. But Edwards preached a sermon called Pardon for the Greatest Sinners. And that's a sermon really about you and I. Pardon for the greatest sinners. And when you think, where does the great physician go to really help people? He goes to the hospital. He goes where the sick people are. He goes to the doctor's office. The doctor doesn't go to the health spa. So let's all look good. Nothing wrong with the health spa, but the doctor's not going to the health spa. He's going to the hospital to do his work. Jesus would do his work in our souls today if we say, "Oh, I can see my soul without Christ being sick. I need the forgiveness and the change of direction that only the great physician would give." He'll do that for us. A pardon for the greatest of sinners. We shouldn't be surprised to learn from the Bible there are some very bad sinners who went to heaven. Very bad sinners who went to heaven. We've got to get that in our mindset on behalf of the people around us, who we think are spiritually out to lunch and lost and just like, you know, hopeless. Not based on some of the people who met God after a really, really bad life. Here's some bad sinners who went to heaven. Moses, the murderer. He's in heaven. Noah, the drunk. He went to heaven. Solomon, the playboy. He went to heaven. Matthew, the crooked politician. The thief on the cross who recognized his need. He says, "We're getting what we deserve." He went to heaven. Nicodemus, the Pharisee, who thought he knew everything, didn't know everything. He went to heaven. Saul of Tarsus, hater of Christians. He went to heaven. Mark, the coward gospel writer. Rahab, the prostitute. Jonah, the runaway prophet. The woman at the well with five husbands. Jonah, runaway prophet. Nebuchadnezzar, the evil king. He trusted God. Shepherds who were untrustworthy, they trusted God. The Roman soldier who helped kill Jesus and said, "Surely this man was the Son of God, the gift of God to him." Put your name on that list. You and I fit in with the big sinners list. We really do. We're saved by grace. And God would touch us at the point of our sin and give us the gift of eternal life if we have never received Christ. Doesn't matter what your sin is, either as a believer or a lost person, Christ will help you deal with it. Could be a secret sin. It's not a secret to God. It's right out in front of Him every day. Could be a public sin, and you think, "Oh my goodness, everybody looks down on me now." Only Jesus, remember, holds the keys of hell. Spurgeon said, "We must confess we're covered with sin, for no confession short of this will be the whole truth. If you're not aware of your condition, how can you truly look to God for mercy?" There's no easy come, easy go salvation. It's eternity at stake. And Spurgeon went on to say this great news. No matter how terrible your sin is, that will never shut your soul out from the Lord Jesus. That's good news for anybody in the whole world. No matter how terrible your sin is, it will never shut you off from the Lord Jesus. Turn to Him with empty hands and say, be my Savior. I need help. Can you get that sense of desperation, that sense of thankfulness? God stands ready to help us. Jesus would move toward us. We can pray Psalm 25:11. Lord, for your name's sake, forgive me because my sin is great. That's an accurate salvation prayer. That's a great prayer for a believer who everybody flounders around, I'm sure, at least once in a blue moon. Lord, give me that walk with you. My sin is great. Spurgeon said, when I came to Christ, I found that He was better than I thought. I think that would be a part of our testimony. When I came to Christ, He was better than I thought. Not only give me heaven for the future, but help now. A changed life. Not perfect, but walking with a perfect one. And you think of the strength of Christ's love. He's always been true, always merciful, always faithful to you. Can you say anything bad about Him? Maybe there's disappointment in your soul, but He could come and bring healing. I think everybody gets disappointed with God, like He blew it or something, when really maybe our soul was leaning on the wrong rock. And that's why we thought He abandoned us. Well, He did not. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. It would be us who would turn our back on Him. His salvation is available. His a walk with Him is before us. And just for the promise for you and loved ones and to live as a lifestyle, because God will pass on good news through you. Remember, the promise is this. I just make the application this way. Christ will shut hell on your behalf. And no one will open. No man will open. Isn't that great? He will shut hell. And nobody can open it for your soul. And He will open heaven. And no man can shut it. So by the grace of God, that's the gift of eternal life through Christ. And might you rejoice in the Lord, be a vehicle of His grace, and be a thankful follower of His to pass on His good news. And join the big sinners who went to heaven.